Judy Rebick supports Rabble because
Rabble's one of the very few spaces anywhere that you get a variety of views. All the new movements that emerged in Canada, whether it was Idle No More, the Maple Spring, the first place they appear is on Rabble.
Thanks, Judy. Just a few reasons to support Rabble.ca. Go to www.rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Ears on the Earth, Rabble.ca at the World Social Forum.
We'd like to begin by welcoming all of you from all around the world here into Turtle Island, and especially into Ganyangahaga territory.
And it's beginning. The Grand March. World Social Forum 2016, Montreal. There are people mobilizing in the streets as the Grand March to begin the World Social Forum. And here we are to tell you today all about what the World Social Forum is and kick off our coverage of the World Social Forum in general. And with me is...
Hi, I'm Sophia Royce.
And we have a whole team of people together putting stories on for you. And so I think right now this is a really, really great way for all of us to introduce ourselves in our own words.
My name is Campbell McClintock, and I'm joining the Rabble podcast team this week because I've been in Montreal for 4 years, and I'm really itching to gather some new perspectives, and this is a week where people, beautiful, smart people from all over the world, are joining together and presenting alternatives to many of the issues that affect all of our lives.
My name is Sophia Royce, and I'm Rabble's current news writing and editing intern. I'm here in Montreal, where I live and have lived for the past 5 years, gathering sounds and voices from the World Social Forum, and it's my foray into podcasting in the world of sound, so I'm really excited to learn and hear more about what's going on in the alter globalist movement.
I'm Victoria Fenner, and I'm the executive producer of the Rabble Podcast Network. And this is a really amazing opportunity to get a lot of conversations and panel discussions and everything about a whole bunch of issues that we really, really care about at Rabble. And I'm really thrilled to be able to do this as a team, because podcasting is a solitary activity, and I'm working with some really talented people.
I'm David Kattenberg. I've been working in radio broadcasting, web-based, and conventional broadcasting since about 40 years, very interested in social development, global environment and development issues, and I'm here at the World Social Forum in Montreal to capture as much sound as I can.
And also missing is Greg McDougall, who is also part of the team, and he's out there, has been wearing the soles out of his shoes, going out and trying to find things for us to bring to you. So Greg McDougall of Ottawa, we welcome you to the team as well. So, Sophia, what's up first?
I spoke with Carminda McLaurin, who's a co-coordinator of the World Social Forum 2016 in Montreal, after an opening press conference on Monday. Here you can hear her talking a little bit about the challenges that the organizing committee faced over the 3 years that they spent organizing and bringing Montreal the World Social Forum.
The organizing committee is really grassroots. So what we're trying to do is to create a dynamic that is horizontal, so to really create a space without hierarchy. And so that definitely brings some interesting challenges. Sometimes it takes more time to make decisions, but at the same time I think it is really interesting, you know, because we're based on what made us grow through the Quebec Spring. Some of us were involved in Occupy movement, in the Indignados and all that. So this is what inspires us. Maybe some other challenge was getting to actually have the possibility to make the World Social Forum here. It was a long process that lasted 2 years, and in through which we were trying to convince the International Council of the World Social Forum to accept our nomination, because definitely to be the first country out of the global South to be receiving the World Social Forum wasn't an easy thing to put forward. So that was an interesting challenge also to. The World Social Forum wasn't really known here in Montreal, in Quebec, in Canada. So to disseminate the information about the World Social Forum, to invite the people to this space that is kind of new for them, was also something that was not given at first. At the same time, I think I can say that we're really proud of the road we have walked so far. There are lots of volunteers organizing this event, so I think that it demonstrates the capacity that the plural sector, the civil society, has to self-organize. And that even if the problems are huge, you know, in the world, there is hope, and we need to take action, you know, and to do things we want to see in the world. So this has been a beautiful process, full of beautiful challenges, and we're really happy to be here starting the World Social Forum.
And that was Carmen de McLaurin talking about the challenges that the WSF organizing committee faced. But one of the major challenges facing the World Social Forum this year has to do with welcoming participants and delegates from abroad, in particular from the so-called Global South. Estimates range between 170 and several hundred visas have been refused for participants coming from the World Social Forum. And here we have Carmen de McLaurin talking a little bit about that challenge.
We proposed a team, actually a volunteer team, that was accompanying people that needed to be accompanied through the process of asking their visas. So this team was created last year. It has been 1 year that it is helping people to fill up the forms, to gather documents. We have given a lot of invitations, letters also, and we already knew this was going to be a difficult part, you know, of our forum, but it was really important to also say that it's not because the problem is too big that we don't face it, you know, and actually we think it is a really good occasion to bring up light into this problem that is not only a problem of the World Social Forum here in Canada, but the problem of the world today: migration, refugees, the crisis that we're living all around the world. And we have a deep thought for the people that are now actually moving out of their countries, their homes, trying to find something better for themselves and their families. So we definitely think this is important to speak about it and to have a World Social Forum. We see it now. It is becoming part of a social... It has become a social issue very present in the media, so we're really happy about that, that people are raising their conscience about this very problematic situation.
And there will be extension sort of actions for people who aren't actually in Montreal to participate in. Could you talk a bit about how that is organized?
Sure. Actually, through the process, we have encouraged also the communication through the internet, because that is evidently more and more possible, you know. So communications through different programs in the internet that permit that allow the conversations, you know. So right now there are many conferences, workshops, and even shows that are going to be transmitted through live stream. And there are chat rooms. There is lots of information about that in our website. And yes, this is definitely a way to address the fact that lots of people cannot come. And this is not something. It is something that is not only, as I was saying, a problem of the World Social Forum here in Canada. It is an issue for all the World Social Forums. If you have a World Social Forum in India, people from Peru are maybe not going to be able to come, and even people from Canada that have less possibilities to pay the ticket. So this is something we really want to push, and for this forum and for other forums in the future.
And that was Carmenda McLaurin, co-coordinator of the WSF organizing team.
Well, yesterday the World Social Forum hadn't started yet, but there was a press conference which outlined some of the goals and achievements, and so we were there recording some of the speakers. I think our next speaker really expressed what some of the goals of the World Social Forum are in a really, really large and all-encompassing way that sums it up quite well.
Henry Mintzberg is a professor of management studies at McGill University and recently came out with a book called Rebalancing Society. Here he is talking to the press about the goals of the World Social Forum.
I've attended Davos, the World Economic Forum, a few times, and I came away, without too much exaggeration, concluding that the World Economic Forum is the place where the people who spend 51 weeks a year creating the problems spend a 52nd pretending to solve them. The World Social Forum is for people who spend 51 weeks a year dealing with the problems, spend a 52nd getting together trying to organize to solve them. And that's my key concern. My way of expressing what you've heard from everybody else is that we live in a world that is utterly out of balance. On the side of private sector forces. And a healthy society balances the three sectors. It balances private sector forces, public sector forces, and what I call plural sector forces. Plural sector is the same as civil society or not-for-profits or what have you. Since the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, with the mistaken belief that communism that capitalism had triumphed, which I think was wrong, balance had triumphed. Before then, the wealthy, successful Western countries were rather balanced across the sectors. Since then, we've been going increasingly and at an accelerating pace out of balance in favor of private sector forces. And today, the private sector dominates, especially on the global level, where there are no countervailing powers. The public sector is dominated or co-opted by private sector forces, and the plural sector is kind of obscure. And the amount of press that Davos gets compared to the amount of press that the World Social Forum gets is not comparable at all. It's encouraging today that there's this kind of press here. I wonder how much international press is here in Davos. You'd have probably 500 people or whatever is sitting in this room. And so we've got to rebalance, and the plural sector is the place to rebalance. The plural sector is not only about NGOs and other organizations that are neither privately owned nor publicly owned. The plural sector is every one of us in our daily lives. There's not a person in this room who hasn't interacted with five plural sector organizations in the last week, including the World Social Forum, McGill University, the YMCA, if you go there, shopping in non-equipment co-op, or being a member of Desjardins, or whatever it is, we're all totally involved. And so the critical thing about this sector is that it's got to take its place. The reason I like to call it plural sector is because private, public, plural go together, and we can start to see them as together. The plural sector has to get its collective act together. When business wants to get something done, it knows how to use its chambers of commerce, and it knows how to use the powerful international organizations, all of which are economic. the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the IMF, and so on. The powerful ones are all economic, and they're all cheerleaders for the private sector. So there's that imbalance, and we've got to bring up the status of the plural sector.
Next up, you'll hear from Faraz Mehdi. He's the Secretary General of Alternatives International and works with Alternatives, an organization based here in Montreal that's organizing the Change the System, Not the Climate portion of the World Social Forum this year. And Faraz is someone I know very well. We've worked together pretty closely over the past year for their Alternatives International Journal, and he's been at, I think, 5 or 6 World Social Forums over the past 10 years. So I spoke with him about his perspective on things.
I've been to quite a few of them, if you include the thematic forums, because you see this World Social Forum, but in between the two World Social Forum, there are other forums which take place. For example, there was one in 2010, which we helped organize in Palestine, the World Education Forum, and then one in 2012 in Porto Alegre in Brazil, which was on World Free Palestine Social Forum, that was in 2012, and then of course other thematic and regional forums which I had been to. The World Social Forum, I have been to about 5 or 6 of them in all, and attended as many, probably the International Council meeting, because Alternatives is a member of that.
Okay, and what do you envision the major differences between the past World Social Forum and thematic forums and this year's World Social Forum in Montreal to be?
Well, the biggest difference is that for the first time a World Social Forum is being held in a North country, global North country. The challenges were expected, some of them were expected, they're obvious. Maybe more work could have been put into working with the officials to get people their visas to enter, because as of today there are hundreds of people, at least 200-300 people who have been refused visa to Canada. The media has covered that a lot, so that's good. The media is talking about that. Will there be a last-minute change and will people get visas? I'm not sure. Maybe this question should be asked to the organizers. But they are, I'm told, working hard on that.
And what sorts of challenges do you see coming up this week?
Well, the first is, of course, I would say, having being held in a place like Montreal, which has been quite active. I mean, Canada itself, we have been quite active here on several fronts. We had 2 years ago in August in 2014 a People's Social Forum in Ottawa, in which the First Nations, the Quebec people, and activists from the rest of Canada gathered together, about 7,000 to 8,000 people, which was quite something. There are other important events which happen annually in Quebec. Let's not forget the big build-up in 2012 of the general strike by the students and joined by the unions and other citizens of the province. So this kind of political actions and mobilizations and discussions, I think Montreal is a good place for that. And people from Montreal, of course, will gain a lot from the people who are coming from outside during several discussions, many debates which will take place. It's a huge program, and I think there will be quite a good exchange of ideas.
And what do you see as the future of the World Social Forum process?
It's been discussed since the first social forum. What is the future of the World Social Forum? It is, again, probably at crossroads. It might have to change in some radical ways to adapt to the neoliberal assault as much in the south as much in the north. We were quite lucky in organizing things in a bit more easier fashion earlier, but now with this whole economic crunch, even in the organization from the north, it will have to find innovative ways, more interesting ways to organize and to interact with people from all over the world. So these things have to be discussed again. And of course, the debate which was there since, as I said, the first IC meeting, whether it should remain a space or it should also be a place of action and adopting resolutions to action, that debate has again come up since the parliamentary coup in Brazil. These debates of what should we be taking action or should we be, it remain a space as it has always been. So these things have been brought up through various discussions through the mailing list of the International Council, and I think it will be quite an important discussion in this forum.
That was Feroz Mehdi talking about his perspective on the World Social Forum.
Greg McDougall, who is our team member who's out on the field today, sent me a note saying that he had done an interview yesterday with Anya Kovacs, and she's from the Internet Democracy Project, and she spoke at the World Forum on Free Media yesterday, and there was a clip that Greg suggested that I play for you that really, really puts the World Social Forum into perspective. So now, here's Anya Kovacs with some thoughts.
What strikes me here, though, as well, is a general kind of a slight sense of despondency, I guess, about where activism is at in general at the moment. More real, like people who organize, not things that come up spontaneously, but people who have organized over long periods of time, struggling to build connections in a world where increasingly global capital is back on the rise. And culturally, as people here have been pointing out, there is also more and more across the world a move to the right. That means there is a set of values that is dominant that's not really hospitable to the activists that are here and the work that they do. And I think that's maybe a question that's as important, not just like what is that platform we need to develop, but how do we win hearts and minds, to use a very cheesy capitalist commercial slogan. But I think it's true in a way that how do you win people back to that language of like solidarity, justice, and I think a different humanity where, you know, trying to respect people in their totality, including their difference. I think that might be a bigger battle.
And the day is over. What you're hearing behind us are the sounds of the march, which happened at 5:30 today. It was a really, really, really energizing and very moving experience. So Dave Kattenberg was there with his camera and with his microphone, and he put together just a little sample of voices of people who he talked to and some sounds from the march. So Dave, as you were marching along, what were your thoughts and impressions as you were watching everyone walk past you?
It was very emotional, just watching this major mob of people from all around the world marching and chanting and having a great time. And it's very emotional to watch a procession of such intensity. And to be frank, at the very beginning, tears came to my eyes. What can I say?
So what kinds of themes and what kinds of things were people telling you? We'll hear a few people in a minute, but what were your overall thoughts?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I would have been delighted to speak with as many people as I wanted, but I just didn't speak to all that many people. I spoke to three or four people, and actually most of them could only speak in French. So I had a few conversations with people in French, and I just decided to let people be and enjoy the moment on their own and not intrude by asking inane questions like, what must change? But I asked a few people that question, and I got a few answers.
In both official languages.
In both official languages.
So now what we're going to do is play some of those responses and just let the sounds of the march carry us out into the night, and it is now Tuesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday, the first day of a whole bunch of sessions with the World Social Forum, and so we're going to be out, boots on the ground, trying to find all kinds of things to bring you that we think that you would want to know about. So I'm Victoria Fenner, and for the whole team at the Rabble Podcast Network who are here at the World Social Forum, and for the folks back in the Rabble office at rabble.ca, we say good night and talk to you tomorrow.
Where are you from?
Haiti.
What needs to change?
Qu'est-ce
qu'il faut changer?
La situation générale du pays. Et il faut qu'il y ait les droits humains, l'intégration des femmes, l'éducation pour les enfants, qu'on finisse avec la corruption, que l'État soit un État protecteur pour tous les citoyens et citoyennes. Il faut changer tout ça.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci aussi.
Actually, we need to work on structures. This is the problem. This is the challenge of this movement. The movement started in Porto Alegre in 2003. It was more about slogans, about doing a branding of the change. But to what extent the movement worked on the structure, on grassrooted solidarities. The movement raised the slogan of think globally, act locally. How this translated into actions throughout the last 10 years? This is a big question.
Je suis venu de l'Italie.
Qu'est-ce qu'il faut changer?
Il faut changer le monde. Il faut changer le monde. Il faut changer le monde. Et ce que nous luttons pour un autre alternatif, un monde alternatif. Il faut changer l'économie, changer la planète, tous, dans le mode pour que le citoyen, la personne, trouve sa place.
We need more than a slogan to do change. We need a movement. This is a problem.
But everybody does their little bit of work at the grassroots.
Yeah, of course. But this is what I'm seeing.
Maybe this is the idea of the World Social Forum, just to rejuvenate people, bring them together.
It is. Sharing experience, knowing where people are, what you are doing where and how, especially how. So, of course, this is a great opportunity to meet and to share experience. Yeah.